as I said, Mothering Sunday and Mother's Day, they've got confused in the UK. They're on different days in other parts of the world because Mother's Day, that day when we associate celebrating mothers in the same way as Father's Day and all that, it is about mothers, whereas Mothering Sunday in the UK was always an ancient festival where we came back to our mother churches and was all about the church family. But obviously someone in their great thinking has gone, oh, Mother's Day, Mothering Sunday, well, they sound like the same thing. We'll do them on the same day. That makes life a lot easier. Which it sort of does, but it's slightly confusing in a church context of what are we celebrating on Mothering Sunday, this fourth Sunday in Lent? And actually, it is much more about our church family and what family looks like in God's eyes, which is why our readings today are about new versions of families, families recreating in new ways, not about blood ties, but about love ties, if you like. So we're going to think today more about families. And we're going to start, can anybody name this family? It's a very famous family.
Flintstones.
The Flintstones, easy. We've got a few more, because normally in our all-age worship, we have a bit of a warm-up for our brains. So we're going to warm up now as I talk. So I've got a few more famous families for you to try and identify. Can anyone name this family? It's a bit small picture, but you, if you look closely, those of you who know them will know them. It's not the Partridge family. Good guess.
Walton.
Not the Waltons. More modern. Go on, someone shout it out.
Modern family.
It's the Modern Family. Anyone heard of the Modern Family? Oh, you should watch it. It's a great program. Anyway, about very different families. Okay, Modern Family. Right, next one. Let's see if we know this one. I really hope you might know this one. The Waleses. Yes, I've never really... That is what they're called, isn't it? But I've never heard them call that. Yes. What about this family? The Kardashians. Well done. And this one? Yeah, the Simpsons. Excellent. Brilliant. Families. Family dynamics. Could we go to the next slide, please? Otherwise, we're going to be distracted by the Kardashians all the way through. Family dynamics form the basis of so much of our entertainment. Books, TVs, films, plays, all of them, because the dynamics are so interesting and so complex and so varied. And they touch on all of our lives, whatever our relationships with families. Someone will have written a play or a book or done a TV show about your relationship with your family, good, bad, positive, negative, all of those. There's bound to be something that we can connect to in our families. And I think some of this fascination is families. It's not just that we're all part of them in some form or other, but it's also that we are meant to be in relationship. We're social creatures, right? We're put into sort of these family groups, partly because we are social creatures. We are made to be in community. We're made to be in relationship. I would say it's one of the defining characteristics that shows that we're made in the image of God, because God is relationship. Father, Son, Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, however you think of the three persons of the Trinity, they are three different, yet one unified. They are relationship. That's what holds them together. It's what defines the Trinity. So if we're made in the image of this relational God, the fact that we are always drawn to be in relationship and be community creatures seems absolutely right. But the thing about families is we don't actually always get that relationship right, do we? Families are renowned for the places where we actually most often get it wrong. Siblings are always the ones that we tend to fight with the most. They're definitely the ones that know the buttons to push. Parents and children, that tension is there. Much as we love each other, there is so often tension. Spouses are often the ones that we snap at the first and the most. Even though we love them, they are the ones that see us warts and all. And so those relationships can be tricky. So I find it really interesting that Jesus puts us in families. that Jesus from the cross talks about family so much. In fact, even before he gets to the cross, he talks about the new community that will gather around him after his life, death, and resurrection. He says, "Who are my mother and my brothers? This is my family. Those who do the will of my Father are my mothers and brothers." And from the cross, as we heard in the passage we just read from John, Jesus says to John, "This is now your mother," and to his mother Mary, "This is now your son." He creates a new family, not based on blood ties, but based on love, based on what he says first. But if Jesus wanted a really strong and positive relationship at the center of this new community, I find it interesting that he makes it a familial relationship when we know families can be so tricky. Would it not be easier to keep that relationship a little bit more professional, perhaps? You know, in the way you relate to someone where you always slightly are on your best behavior. They don't necessarily know all the good and bad of you because it just makes it better to work professionally, right? Would it not have been better to have that at the center of the church so that it wasn't the messiness of family relationships? But no, Jesus says, no, family is how we are come together. Because, as it says at the beginning of John, we are called to be heirs. We are given the right to become children of God. We become siblings. It means that we come into a relationship of people who will perhaps see us, warts and all, who will perhaps learn which buttons to press. People who may see us at our worst and our best. We're not actually called into a professional relationship with each other, a formal relationship where we might keep up our guard and are always on our best behavior. That's not actually what we are called into. We are called into a very honest and real relationship with those also who choose to follow Jesus, those sitting around us today. That's what we're called into. And you might say, well, it's a lot easier to have the arguments, the difficulties, to see each other at our worst and the best and still love each other when we're tied together by blood because we're family. That's what holds us together. And I would say yes, blood ties are what is important. But it's not the blood that is passed down father and mother. It's the blood of Jesus that ties us together in a new family. So we are held together in blood ties. But it's the blood of Jesus that is what's flowing through us and combining us and making us family. And that is the love also that combines us. It's not just the fact that Jesus died for us, shed his blood for us. It's not that, it's the fact that that shows the love that God has for us, that Jesus went to the cross to make sure that the way to the Father, the way to the Creator was clear, that we could come into relationship with Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, with the Trinity. We can join in that relationship and be held in relationship with each other. That is what ties us now as a new family and what holds us here. So it may mean that we slightly have to put down the guard that we have when we come to church. It's not about being slightly aloof and making sure we put on our best behavior and show who we are in the best light on a Sunday. It's not about that. It's about being honest with each other about who we are. Because only from that point can we grow as family, grow closer as unity. And that presents a very different picture to the world, because it's not how the majority of society works now. We don't do that raw, honest relationship with people who are not in our family much in our society. And yet in the church, it's what we're called to do. And it does take trust. It takes courage to do that. But my goodness, the blessing that comes from it. The early church was tiny. And yet here we are, in a completely different country, in a completely different time. Something about the witness of that family that was formed in the early church drew more and more people into the family, and it grew and grew and grew to enable us to sit here right now. So that is what we think about in this fourth Sunday of Lent as we journey to the cross. We think about what brings us together as family. And so today we are going to do something to celebrate us as family. We're going to do something which is an ancient tradition, and it's called clipping the church. Has anyone heard of clipping the church? If you want to make it sound really old-fashioned, you do it C-L-Y, you spell it with a Y, because then it looks really old school, or just with an I. But clipping the church was this ancient tradition, thank you, Roy, where people would gather outside their church as their mother church, not necessarily representing the building, but what the building represents is all the people, and they would gather and they would essentially give their church a big hug. So they would gather in a circle around the whole of it, holding hands and encircling their church, representing this, what holds us together as church, and enjoying the family and holding that church. So we're going to try and do that today. I don't think we are yet enough of us to go around the whole of the church. And for the moment, it would involve someone climbing over onto the pharmacy roof. So that's not safe. So we're not going to do that. But what I want us to try and do is create the biggest circle we can that comes up around the table and around the chairs, as big as we can this morning, to gather together as church family, as brothers and sisters in Christ. And then we will continue on our service in a big circle. Okay, are you up for that? Brilliant. Some of you are. That's great. We'll have part of a circle. Okay, so if we get ourselves sort of into a circle and then we can shuffle outwards.